Let's get into the word today. I'm excited. Messages for me usually are hard to start. But this word was sort of mulling around with me a week ago. And then when I sat down to do it, my poor husband and Tony, so I apologize. I was gruff with them because I was trying to get to start. When you try to start a message, sometimes you get flustered, you know, and you're trying to figure out, okay, where do I want to go? What is it that you're speaking to me to communicate it? And I'm going to pray in 1 second, so I got to apologize to them. There's your shout out, Tony. That, you know, they were at the house and doing some things, and I'm like, I got to get dinner done. I got to get this message done. And there was one other thing that was going on. I have to get, my kid's birthday card. I have to get that out. And I said, and it was boss's day. And I'm like, I can't get all this done. And my husband's like, I'll go do it. It's okay. I'll get this stuff done. And then, you know, so I was a little hyper there. But I just wanted to get it done because I knew the Lord was speaking. And once you get on a roll, you don't want to stop, you know. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this word that you hidden in my heart, Lord, that now I can speak it out in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would just calm my spirit, that you would slow me down, let me have clarity of words, Lord, that I might communicate this, Father, Lord. Open up our minds to receive it, Lord. Open up our ears to hear it, and mostly open up our heart to receive what you have for us today, Father, Lord. I am an imperfect communicator, Lord. I am only will be perfect as I'm hiding behind your cross today, Lord. So I pray all these things, Father, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Dry bones, can they live? Dry bones, can they live? Now, I'm so happy Dave is here because I told the music team I was going to look at the camera and to see what my boundaries were, and I was going to put pieces of tape where my boundaries were, because being Italian, if you tie our hands when we're speaking, it don't happen. So I like to move. So I was going to put two pieces of tape to show, okay, you can only go this far this way or this way. So now that Dave is here today, we get Dave back for this week, I can move around freely, so I'm excited. So let's read in out of the New King James Version, where I'm talking about dry bones live. We're going to Ezekiel, that wonderful prophet, that poor man. God used him in such a mighty way, but you know what? Dry bones. Sometimes we all go through it. Okay, 37 verse. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, you notice, again, repeat it. You know what? You didn't get what I was saying to you. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Exclamation point. You notice that? Exclamation point. He's not just a period. He's saying, yo, wake up. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So I will put snoo on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesy, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the snow and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them all over, but there was no breath in there. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, meaning him, son of man. Prophesy to it, speak to it, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know, when was the last time that you faced an impossible circumstance? Do you remember the feeling that you had, that hopelessness in your heart? Ugh. You know, out of all the times that I preach, I've never said anything about Walt Disney. This is my turn, okay? This is my one time. If anybody knows, I am a Disney fanatic. And my girls, if they're watching, I have their jacket on that they've made me. This was made out of love, my jacket. So Walt Disney, you know, we know he was a man with a remarkable vision. He was named, do you know, after his family pastor? The church that they went to, they named him Walt after their pastor. Little fact there. And he never gave up. Early in his career, he worked for a newspaper. And he was fired from the newspaper because they thought he didn't have any good ideas. That made Disney try even harder, because he knew there was something in him. He knew that there was something in him. So when he started out in Kansas City, he couldn't sell his cartoons. Some hinted that he had no talent. When they're looking at his cartoons and saying that he had no talent. But Walt had a dream, and he was going to conquer his foes. The foes that said to him, that negative spirit, those negative people, not spirit, but negative voices that said, you know what, you're nothing. You have no talent. You can't even draw right. You know, the early days were tough for Walt, if you know his story or whatever. But the remarkable creative visionary refused to give up. Walt would occasionally present some unbelievable, extensive dreams to his board, to his team, and about the ideas that he had in that he was entertaining. Almost without exception, the members of his board would gulp, blink, and stare back at him in disbelief, resisting even the thought of such things. But unless every member of his board said, nope, this can't be done, nope, this can't be done, Disney usually didn't pursue it. That was the only time he didn't pursue something, if the whole board. The challenge wasn't big enough, or wasn't meant to be resisted, the idea he knew wouldn't take. The challenge wouldn't merit the time, the effort, or the creativity energy. So unless they weren't unanimous in disagreement, it was his time and his creative energy that it wasn't worth the disagreement there. Isn't it any wonder that Disneyland and Disney World were built because of that? they're now actually realities. What was his dream? Even though that board, some of them said, and some of them were like, yeah, we'll be able to do this. Everybody wasn't in agreement at that point, but it came through. There was just that one or two. He's like, you know what? If there's just one or two that are agreeing with me, I'm going for it. We can do this. I'll get the rest of them on board. This type of faith is required for visionaries in business, but it is also for us as Christians. Like Disney, we need to dream big and trust God for the impossible. God is in the business of impossibilities. The bones are a gruesome image of sin and despair. It's a reminder of defeat. You can't do anything if you're lying down. You have no breath in your body. You have nothing. You're dead. You know, these bones, it says that the bones represent the nation of Israel carried off to Babylon in captivity. It was a humiliating desecration for the body of a dead Jew to not be given a decent burial. They have 24 hours to bury. So by that time, by the morning from that, they're buried. And that still happens today. Within 24 hours, they've had their service and everything's been done. So imagine Ezekiel giving the picture and being brought to this place of dry bones. People not being buried correctly, not being, they were desecrated. Imagine what his heart was feeling, because he loved Israel with all of his heart. That's why the Lord had him as a prophet. He was going to speak. Has anybody ever been to Gettysburg? You've seen the battlefield, you see the markers that they have. They have all these markers. They have these the stones and everything. But here, there's no grave markers in this situation that Ezekiel's doing. The fallen army is left on the battlefield, and their bones are bleached in the sun. They're dried out. They're white. They're going to just start to fall apart now. To go into dust. Have you ever walked through something that's just made you just say, I give up. I'm done. Does the obstacle in front of you seem impossible? And you know what? How am I going to overcome this? I can't do this. And you know, you're feeling sometimes, and I've said this, in ministry sometimes I feel like one step forward, Lord, I'm going one step forward, but I'm taking two steps back. Imagine Ezekiel looking on that situation. It's impossible. Lord, oh, look at all these dry bones. Sometimes it's not our strength. It's the Lord's strength. We have to remember that. God's got this. It might seem impossible, but God's got this. He is the God of the impossible. He loves impossible circumstances. That's what he's in the business for. It might seem impossible in the natural, but God's like, I got this. You don't even know. Imagine the army. There's a Bible story that talks about, I think Pastor talked about it a couple weeks ago. And he was saying, you know, you're looking in the natural. He says, but open up your spirit eyes. Look what's all around you, all these angels. They're going to fight for you. We forget that we have the army of the Lord behind us. Dry bones. These dry bones were dead as they could get. You couldn't get any more deader than this. You know, ask a doctor, and they're going to tell you there's different levels of death. Death occurs when the heart stops. Often the heart can be restarted, right? do CPR. I just finished, just did my CPR recertification this week. So we're back again. And did my CPR certification. That's one way of doing it. There are times, there's often the heart can be restarted and brought back to life. Then we know that there's brain dead. So you're on machines, it's doing the work for you, brain dead. And the body may have some atomic responses, but there's little hope for recovery. And that's such a hard time for a family. But this is very different, this dead. This is a long dead. The body is not dead, it's gone. There's nothing, the picture that I have. There's nothing. No decaying flesh. Nothing. It's just dry bones. It is one thing to believe God for a miracle to heal the sick. Like when Lazarus died and Martha had her hope. You know, if you just were just there, Lord, you could have healed him. And Jesus says, where's he at? Bring me to him. This is a different dead. There is no flesh on this. There's nothing. They're dry bones. There's hope, the lost for more than just a few days. These were gone. Years. Maybe God can raise the, quote, just dead, like Lazarus was. But can even God raise dry bones to life? Situations in life that can sometimes seem so, so difficult. Can God restore? Can God move? Can God change this? It's dry. I'm in a dry place right now. Can God do it? There may be issues in your life that seem difficult at the present, but are you trusting in God to get you through? God asks what? Son of man, can these bones live? He asks him that question. Ezekiel can only reply, oh, sovereign Lord, only you know. You know, like us. Oh, Lord, you know the situation. Yeah. His answer, really, if you think about it, is a hopeless despair. He's like, only you know, Lord. He doesn't come out and say, you know what, Lord? You can do it. You can do it. Really, what he's saying is, I'm talking to the God here, but I don't want to, you know, make it sound like I don't believe, but I do want to believe. You know, it's like that half and half. Are you facing that impossible situation? Are there dry bones that you're facing? These things that just seem that are absolutely hopeless. Maybe dreams that have died. Maybe you're in that, I don't know, Lord. You know, I want to believe, but I don't know if I can believe. When you think about about a way through the situation and you come up with that phrase, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can believe. You know, sometimes friends can help you through, or a counselor can help you through to help you deal with whatever it is that you're going through. But only God can bring that solution and that restoration of hope. We need to stop looking at the obstacles that are in front of us and start to realize that God is in control. God is with you, and he's going to give you the strength. If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to use the word. We need to stand on the word. That obstacle in front of you can be seen like you're hitting a brick wall at 55 miles an hour. But God's like, you know what? I got this. You can go over that wall. I'll put you through the wall without even getting hurt. I'm going to bring the wall down. There's just so many different possibilities that God is going to give you. And he's going to give you not only the physical of seeing the situation, but he's going to give you the strength to go through the situation. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left you, and he's not going to leave you. When we're in those dry places and those dry times of life, and it's going to happen. If it hasn't happened and you've just accepted Christ and you're on that automatic high, you know, you get, I'm serving the Lord. Yeah, this is great. It's going this way. It's going to come. We go through those times, but we're human. And God says, that's okay. I'm here. You might feel like you're a dry bone. You might feel like you're dead, but I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you purpose. God is with you, and it says in God's word, if he is for us, who can be against us? With God, and it's not, there's no actual scripture, with God, God is with me. If there's more than one, me and God are a majority. Couldn't get it out. God and me are a majority. When you're trusting in the Lord, you can speak to the dry bones, and we're going to get to that. Speaking to the dry bones, hearing God's voice, so important. So important to hear God's voice in the situation. He says it comes as a still small voice. Sometimes I believe, for me at least, I can only tell you what I feel it. It's just something inside you, that nagging thing sometimes that tells you, do this, go this way. Or, you know, it's just that quietness, you know. And sometimes you think, well, is that me talking? And it speaks to you again. And that's when I say to the Lord, I'm like, okay, Lord, are you speaking to me now? Are you trying to get something through my thick brain right now? And it'll come again. And it's not like a vocal words, but it's just something in your heart that I'm speaking to you, you know. Are you going to listen? That's always the thing. Ezekiel here was told to prophesy to the bones, saying, "Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." When most people think of prophecy, they think of "Thus saith the Lord God of hope," you know, somebody on the street corner prophesying, you know, Amy Simple McPherson, you know, giving the word of the Lord, you know, and "Thus saith the Lord," or a sign of the end times or something, you know. Prophet, or some even people think, this aggravates me, fortune telling. Or that kind of thing, they think of that, you know? And it's like, no, that's of the enemy. If you're into any of that fortune telling, reading cards, anything like that, that is not of the Lord. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. It's a counterfeit. Satan likes to have a counterfeit. Everything that is of God, Satan's like, how can I twist that? And that's the counterfeit. So prophecy simply means hearing God's voice and repeating what he has said. Simple as that. Repeating what you're hearing in your spirit, man. It is speaking God's word for a particular time, place, and person. I want to just want to say one thing. Prophecy must always line up with God's word, and there's no new word of God. Okay, so there's no new prophecies in the sense of biblical wise, but it does point to Christ, whatever's in the word. There's no new words. Wouldn't you have felt funny talking to dry bones? Think about it. You're standing out and there's all these dry bones, and think about a Bluetooth, you know, the Bluetooth that we have now. Headsets these days, you know, how many times do you see people, and it's funny. I saw it in Walmart the other day. Woman has the Bluetooth, and you can't see some of them now because they're so tiny, you know, and she's walking and she's talking in Walmart, and you're like, oh, she must be on her phone. you know, because she's talking about all different things, and I'm like, okay. It's funny if you think about it. It's the same thing, you know. talking to yourself in inanimate objects, you know, it's not normal, you know. they say it's not normal, even though I talk out loud all the time at home. They say it's not normal, you know. You know. But we need to trust God and to listen to His voice. It needs to be that voice in our ear with that Bluetooth, okay? It's, you know, He needs to be corresponding with us. We can't move in fear with having a word. I'm going to call this prophecy word, because there is two types of prophecies. We're called to speak into the hopeless situations. We're the ones that have the voice. We're the ones that have the word. And we have to do it without fear. Just like Ezekiel was fearful at first. Yeah, you know, he didn't speak to what he was told. The Lord had to say it again. Prophecy, we know, is a supernatural enabling by the Spirit of God to hear His voice and to deliver the message of what God is saying. I believe that you can prophesy with, you know, with the unction of the Holy Spirit. You're prophesying without God. If you're prophesying without God, then you're not prophesying in the correct source. The difference between psychics and prophets is the kingdom of God. It's the source of their revelation. We don't want the psychics. We want God's clear, still, small voice. We get our source directly from the Holy Spirit. We're plugged into Him. We're plugged into that. Biblical prophecy is speaking the words of God by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:11 talks about the list of spiritual gifts that are able to us when we have the Holy Spirit. So I believe that everyone has the ability to speak this prophecy, okay? But not all people choose to prophesy. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the revelation in the first place. And everybody can do it. Now, there's two types I'll go into real quickly. But even if it's a simple picture that comes directly from God to you, it can make a profound moment in somebody else's life. That's what prophecy is used for, to exhort, to build up. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The scripture also says that there is grace given by the Holy Spirit as He wills. You get a measure of grace upon your life to operate in that gift. Everybody can get that measure. So for some people, it comes real natural. That is their gifting. They just flow in that. We can all operate in it, but some of us, it takes a little more nudge, a little bit more encouragement, I'll call it. The prophet function in Ephesians 4 is that life call, that they just flow in it, they move in it. Pastor Dennis, he just flows in it. He has a word, boom. He just gives it. He just looks at it, you know. Brother Bill, when he's here, he just moves in that. But we all can have a measure of that gifting, because you might be the one person that might be in that person's life at that moment that they need that encouragement. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. Whether it's a picture or whether it's actual words. Sometimes people get a picture for prophecy. They see something. Whether it's related to that person's life or what they're going through, and say, you know what, I just see this, you know. Hear me out, you know. And if it's of the Lord, He's going to confirm it in your heart, too. If it's not going to be confirmed, you'll know. You just need to be open to it and listen to his voice. It's that nudging in your spirit. God wants to use you. He wants to use you in this gift. It's a free gift. Whether somebody's going through something, right, whether they're at Wawa, Walmart. Walmart's my favorite place, I think, when I go to Walmart. It never fails. I think most of my ministry, that some things that I do are at Walmart, in the aisle. I'm like, Lord, just say something. Just start up a conversation. And then you start, and then it gives me an open door that the Lord's telling me for that. See, fear comes into play when this happens. Every time, fear comes in, because it's the what ifs, I call. What if they don't accept me? What if they think security, where you at? You know? It's the what ifs, it's that fear. But that person is in despair, or that person needs encouragement. We're supposed to be the light. So God has given us this wonderful gift. And he says to you, you know what? They're going through a tough time right now. I need you to pray with them. And I need you to speak peace into their life. And you're like, I ain't doing it, Lord. No. And the Lord says to you again, you know what? I brought you out of what they're going through. Why don't you pray with this person? Why don't you speak to them? And then again, we get that fear that wants to come in. You know, fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. Fear is a reaction. It's a natural reaction, the first thing we do. Fear is that reaction. Courage is that decision to say, you know what? I'm stepping out. Lord, you know what? I might look like an idiot, but hey, you know, and you're telling me to do this, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. Courage is that decision. Ezekiel had to have courage to speak to the bones. He didn't have it at first, did he? He was told. The Lord told him again, second time. See, God, isn't great God's God of second chances? He's like, you know what? Speak to the bones. Talk to him. Lord, you know, can I make these bones live again? Speak to it. Speak to your situation. He had to make the decision to speak. And not only speak, to breathe. He couldn't fear what men might think. He was prophesying to the dry bones. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree. He shall be like a tree, strong, mighty. Think of a tree. Think of an oak tree. How their roots go deep. How during hurricanes, they bend back and forth. It takes a lot. The only thing that usually comes down during most storms is dead branches. The stuff that's alive can sway. It sways. Shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Picture that big tree through the storms of life. Whatever you're going through, get your roots deep. Get your roots deep in the Lord. OSL, get your roots deep, please. I thought it was going to shut down on me. I was like, it beeped at me. Get your roots deep. You know, it says it spread out its roots and it didn't fear. There was no fear when the heat came. It was still green. If you're going through that dry place, God can still work. God can still move in the dry bones. He's going to put new life in. God is faithful and he's trustworthy, and a never-ending stream of life to all those who trust in him. Sometimes the journey to that place is difficult. And you know why it's difficult? A lot of times, two reasons. Our disobedience, because we're not following the Lord. And the difficulty because the enemy wants to discourage you. Because if he can discourage you, he said, I got you, Taisha. You can't do that. You can't move in that. Nah, that's not for you. Nah. And the Lord's saying, yes, it is. You're a child of the Most High God. Because he knows if he discourages Taisha, he's won his battle. So she needs to speak life into those situations. Now, when he asks us to speak or to do something, a lot of times that is out of our box. It's out of our comfort zone. I like being in my box. I like being in my four walls. Don't make me do anything that I don't want to do, that I don't feel comfortable with. Whether it's praying with somebody maybe, or maybe it's raising your hands during worship service. I like my little box. And the Lord's like, you got to cut it open. You know, box cutter? You got to slice it open. God wants to slice it out. Say, you know what? Take this wall. Whoop, take it out. I want to make your box bigger. Sometimes we like that little box. And the Lord's like, you know, I'm trying to give you more ground here. I'm trying to give you a little bit more peace. I'm trying to give you more, a little bit more of a testimony. Cut it. Get out of the box. Let him enlarge your borders. Our dog, not the one we have now, my greyhound that we had, he passed away. When we got her, when we got Howdy, she was crate. She only wanted to be in the crate. A big greyhound in a little crate. So they said to us, they said, that's where she's going to go. That's where she feels safe, comfortable. You have to get her out of the crate. You have to slowly dismantle the crate. So week by week by week, we took the door off. We unscrewed the top, and we had to take the sides off. Kind of. So literally, we had to dismantle the crate. We had to get her out of the box. Once she was out of the box, and she understood, that fear was gone. You know, she had the whole room of the house. She had down the street. She would run down the street. that was Poshy. Howdy would run down the street. Poshy was the box. Poshy was the box. Howdy got into our car without a problem. Posh, we had to untake the box. That's all she knew. You know what? There was so much more life for her to experience, but she had to get out of the box, just like what we do. We have to get out of our boxes sometimes. The Lord will speak to you. I'm praying that the Lord's going to speak to you this week and put you in situations, and I'm sorry if you're not going to like me for this, are going to put you into situations that's going to stretch you a little this week, that you're going to have to speak to somebody and say, you know what? Lord, take this for what it's worth. You know, you can always say that. Take it, you know, think about it, but I feel the Lord's impressing my inside me to tell you this. Always a good way to say, take it for what you want, you know, and you let me know later on if what I'm saying is correct. That's what the Lord wants to do, because you are the light in the darkness. You're the one that can spread somebody else to know him in a deeper way. OSL plug. we're going to talk a little bit about this in level three. There are two words used to mean word in the Bible. This. God uses these two ways to speak to us today. The first word is logos. Logos. A Greek philosopher named Heraclitus first used the term logos around 600 BC to designate a divine reason or plan. In the Bible, it is used to speak to God's will or plan in a general sense. Jesus was described by the word of God in that he was the fulfillment of God, of the plan in the physical form. The Bible is God's word, and it outlines God's word and plan for us, for everybody. When we speak the scripture into situations, which is what we need to do, if you're going through something, you need to speak into those situations. You're declaring God's will. When the Lord says, you know, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes, I am healed. You're declaring that. You're declaring God's word. For example, as we look at the world around us today, it's easy to become discouraged, isn't it? The needs of so many people that don't know Jesus. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the task seems so great. But we need to speak and declare the word over those situations, our loved ones, for salvation. Declaring that God has already said that one day every nation would hear and receive, that one day people from every tribe and every country, that they're going to have heard the word of the Lord. The job will get done. We know it because God has said it. The second is rhema. Rhema, the Greek word for rhema means God speaks a specific word to a specific person for a specific moment through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The rhema. That is that what word is. The rhema is that word of God. That's the word rhema, right in there. Rhema is a word or an illustration. God speaks directly to us, and it addresses our personal situations and particulars. It's timely and Holy Spirit-inspired word, and it brings life. It is the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, like in Ephesians 6:17, it's that rhema. It can be received through others, such as prophetic and illustrations, and one to directly in their personal meditation time in the Bible or in prayer. Sorry about that. Whew. You were created for more than normal. You are more than just average. You're here to lead others to freedom. The freedom you have that you've experienced in Christ, you need to give it out to others. You were created to fill up more than just space. More than just to merely exist. You were created for such a time as this, to speak out. God is no respecter of persons. He knows exactly how many hairs on your head, it says. You've been created for such a time as this, and to be light and salt to a world. Let me finish up. Let's see. Because I am out of time. 11:30. Zoe breath, real quick. Zoe breath, breath of God. Ezekiel's dry bones, can they live? The Lord only knows. The Lord says, prophesy Zoe life. it came from death to life. And in Acts 4:31, I'm going down to, so I'm skipping a little. Acts 4:31, and when he prayed, he placed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Not timid, boldness. This breath in Acts is the pneuma, God breathed. When they spent time with God, God's Spirit filled them with boldness. Fear is a thief of boldness, but the breath of God breaks through the fear and equips us to be bold. But it's through spending that time with God that we become bold, because you know God's word, and it rings true in your heart, and it comes back up, and you say, yep, he said that. God said it. But the enemy loves the buts. But this, but that. It's not. But God said. And that's what we need to do. We need to say, but God said. Before God breathed on the disciples, they were a bunch of misfit nobodies, weren't they? They were robbers, tax collector. They liked their money. They were fishermen. They were dirty. You know, did you ever hang around with some, did you ever watch Deadliest Catch? That's one of our things. Those guys, you've got a sailor mouth. You know, they got some potty mouth, you know? So that's what the Lord Jesus said. You know what? This is who I want. He took them, that bunch of misfits, and he breathed, the Holy Spirit that day came down, breathed breath, and made them heroes of the faith and paved the way for us as Christians around the world today. This small group of people changed history after they were breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. They were hiding in an upper room, fear of man. They were hiding in that upper room with that fear, but boldness, after that breath came, was boldness. He breathed upon them in the same way that he breathes on us today, that we can have that same boldness, and we can stand without any trial. We can stand the test of any trial. Give me not even five. Five truths concerning the breath of God. And I'm not really even going to go into them. Five truths concerning the breath of God. One, it gives life. God's breath gives life. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me the breath of the Almighty. In Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth and all the hosts. I'm giving you scripture to back up what I'm saying. It's truth. Two, God's breath breaks the spirit of fear. If you're going through fear, take these scriptures. Take the scripture, Job 26. By his breath, the heavens are cleared. By his hand has pierced the fleeing serpent. By his breath, the heavens are cleared. His hand has pierced the fleeing serpent. You have victory. He's killed it. The serpent is underneath your feet. By the breath of God, the spirit of fear is gone. He's underneath my foot. No more fear. God's breath drives out darkness. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. The earth was formed, and the emptiness, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over all the waters. And God said what? Everybody, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. And it was good. You just got to speak it sometimes. Speak it out loud. Don't say it in your mind. If you're going through fear, if you're going through a situation, get some scriptures. God's breath, it breaks the darkness. You have to speak it out. And OSL 3, we're going to talk about that. You got to speak it out with your words. Breath brings understanding. Woo! Say that 10 times. God's breath brings understanding. But it is a spirit in man that the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Job 32:8. Job learned a lot. Job's a good one. I mean, poor guy. But there's a lot there in Job. 5, God's breath heals our dry bones. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. Ezekiel 37:5. Closing with this, back to Walt. Walt Disney, Disney World, my favorite place. My favorite place. Opened in 1974. It was the reason why I think, and I'll, just a real side note as I close, the reason why I think it's so special is because it's the last place. My father passed away in 1974. It was the place that our trip, as my family and my sister, my half-sister was with us, and I remember that. So I think that's why Disney is actually very special to me, because I can actually picture in my mind when I'm there my father, and where the last ride that I remember was on their little cars. You know, so that's why I think Disney is, little plug there, that's why. So Disney was sitting, Mrs. Disney was sitting with Walter Cronkite, if you know. And Walt Disney had passed away a few years earlier. His brother's the one that finished Walt Disney World. And Walter Cronkite wanted to say just the right thing to Mrs. Disney. So he leaned over to her and said, wouldn't it be great if Walt was here to see this today? And Mrs. Disney wisely replied, if Walt had not seen this first, you would not be seeing it today. Think about this even deeper, and then I'll bring it about real quick. Disney went on to purchase in 1996 ABC. At that time, the Kansas City Star, which was the newspaper that Walt worked for that said he wouldn't be anything, they purchased them because they were part of the ABC company. So the very newspaper that fired Walt Disney, that means that the very newspaper that fired him became part of his vast empire that he built. If there's a dream that you have that has died, if you're in a place where there's dry, you feel like you're dry bones, prophesy to it. Speak to it. Get the word in it. He wants to revive your plans for your life. And not only for your life, but for others. He wants you to be the life to somebody else. It's great. We go bless, 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 bless. But as you can see, we get more out when we give. So God not only wants us to revive that dream that's in our hearts, whatever that is, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, financial, whatever the dream is, maybe something you want to do. My husband always says, you know, we've been joking lately, what do I want to be when I grow up? What is it that you dream of? What do I want to be when I grow up, you know? He wants to create an army of righteousness out of your bones. He wants you to have a place, be a place of not despair or discouragement. He wants you to have life. He wants you to be courageous. He wants you to be able to prophesy and give breath to others. He wants you to speak to dry bones because he wants you to live again. Let's pray.